The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
Hello and welcome to Colombia Calling. I'm Emily Hart and today I'm talking to ZZK, one of the top music labels in the world for Latino electronica, digital and experimental cumbia, and rainforest electro. From a Wednesday night party in Buenos Aires to a global record label, ZZK are now celebrating 15 years working in the business. The collective started out working with a lot of digital cumbia artists. Many of these artists started out by mixing traditional Latin American rhythms with modern electronic touches, nodding always to the folkloric Colombian dance music that spread across the continent in the 1940s. The cumbia beat itself has mixed origins, born on the coast of Colombia, from indigenous, Afro-descendant, and Spanish traditions. The now huge digital cumbia scene was incubated in large part due to ZZK's parties and music label, which exploded into a community of artists whose experiments with blending unlikely sounds and styles have continued ever since, bringing cumbia from Colombia, through the barrios of Argentina, and through an experimental digital wave, now to a phenomenon which plays worldwide. I've got two of ZZK's co-founders in the studio, as well as the lead of new Colombian signing and Bogotá phenomenon, Los Cotopla Boys. We'll be talking rhythms, parties, and the experimental scene in Colombia, as well as reggaeton, K-pop, and how to survive as an indie record label. And at the end of the show, I'll be giving you guys an exclusive listen to a brand new track by ZZK artist Montoya. All of that on its way, but first, your top news stories for this week.
The Columbia Calling podcast is sponsored by Latin News, a leading source of political and economic analysis on Latin America and the Caribbean since 1967. Their flagship publication, the Latin American Weekly Report, provides a behind-the-scenes briefing on all the week's key developments throughout the region. Sign up for a 14-day free trial at latinnews.com. The Columbia Calling podcast is also proud to say that we are sponsored by BNB Colombia Tours, which is a leading tour operator in Colombia, providing a large range of private day tours, transportation, and bespoke packages throughout Colombia since 2017. By popular demand, from January 2023, they will be providing exclusive small group shared tours for those aged 50 and over. If you're interested in experiencing one of their unforgettable journeys through Colombia, be it a shared tour with like-minded travelers or creating a private package of your own, just complete the form on the Columbia Calling website, that's columbiacalling.co, or the Plan My Trip form on the BNB Colombia Tours website, that's bnbcolombia.com, and they'll be in touch within 24 hours to answer all your questions and to start the planning of your Colombia adventure. So please support our sponsors, our patrons here on the Columbia Calling podcast. That's bnbcolombia.com and latinnews.com. Thank you again.
More major reforms have been proposed to Congress, notably a health reform of 152 articles seeking to create medical coverage for the whole country without dependence on insurance, promising a preventative system and comprehensive coverage. The reform proposes a mixed model. Both private and public entities will administer healthcare, including regionally organized primary care centers, which will also carry out home visits to families. The reform promises self-regulation for the sector and improved working conditions for health workers. The consolidation of a single information system is also planned, in which all activities and transactions of the sector will be recorded in order to better audit, monitor, and follow up indicators, processes, and the use of resources. Private healthcare providers, which currently function on something similar to the US model, have responded by saying that the reform threatens decades of progress, that it consists of a nationalization and an imposition of state monopoly, and that it discards the knowledge of those bodies in favor of new public entities which lack the experience to carry out their functions. They have also criticized the notion of primary care centers, saying that the separation of primary care and hospital care will fragment services and cause more bureaucracy. The law for submission to justice has also now been published, providing a period of 2 years for members of armed groups to voluntarily turn themselves in. It offers a maximum sentence for those who do of 12 years, of which maximum 8 would be spent in prison and 4 engaged in restorative processes for victims. In regards to illicit wealth, a 2014 law has been reinforced, allowing a criminal actor to keep 6% of their wealth, having handed over assets and resources. The model does not envisage new judges or procedures as such, just the substitution of the sentence if the person does contribute to truth, restoration, guarantee of non-repetition, or the dismantling of criminal structures. Colombia's president, Gustavo Petro, has now signed the decree permitting him to assume regulation functions for 3 months over energy and gas tariffs. He says that he has done so in order to lower energy prices. The Energy Regulation Commission has spoken out against the decree, saying the institutional framework is being put at risk by undermining its independence and that it may distort market behaviour. 1/3 of Colombians suffer from food insecurity, according to the UN's World Food Programme. This constitutes more than 15 million people, 2.1 million of whom face insecurity categorised as severe. The Pacific and Caribbean regions saw food insecurity rise by 40% last year. The departments of Sucre and Córdoba have food insecurity of over 60%. President Gustavo Petro has been declared a persona non grata in Peru, meaning he will not be able to enter the country. It was an initiative by the Peruvian Congressional Foreign Relations Committee after Petro said publicly that in Peru, the police march, like Nazis, against their own people. Peru has been in turmoil since December, when then-President Pedro Castillo announced that he was dissolving Congress and introducing a state of emergency, but Congress voted to impeach him. For more than 2 months since, Peru has seen mobilizations demanding early elections and the resignation of now-President Dina Boluarte. The protests have been met with a violence described by Amnesty International as lethal repression with a marked racist bias. Peru's top prosecutor has launched an inquiry into President Dina Boluarte and key ministers over weeks of clashes that have left dozens of people dead. Some officials are being investigated on charges of genocide as well as homicide. It is not yet clear what the repercussions will be for diplomatic relations. Colombia currently has no ambassador to Peru. It will certainly be a complicating factor for Petro's regional goals, especially regional integration on issues like energy and the Amazon rainforest, around 10% of which is in Peru. Meanwhile, Petro and Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro have signed an agreement to boost trade links between the two countries, updating tariffs and terms, laying the grounds for the expansion of trade. More children than ever will make the dangerous crossing of the Darien Gap to reach Panama by land from Colombia, often bound for the United States, the United Nations has announced. The UNICEF agency estimates that around 300,000 migrants are likely to make the crossing this year. More than 60,000 of them are likely to be minors, at least 20%. Last year saw nearly 250,000 people make the crossing. Though the route used to be dominated by adult migrants, many families now make the journey. In January of this year alone, nearly 5,000 children and adolescents were registered using the route, more than 7 times the number seen in January of last year. However, Colombia has denied a request by Panama's migration authorities to close the border to avoid the worsening crisis. Migracion Colombia said that it is the third time the Panamanian authorities have made that request, but that Colombia maintains a strong stance in defense of free mobility, and because if the border is closed on the Colombian side, migrants will become stranded in a bottleneck in the country, as has repeatedly happened in recent years. Though many migrants arrived in Colombia last year and many more passed through to cross the Darien Gap to Panama, outflow of Colombians from the country has hit record levels in recent months. There were more than 500,000 emigrants last year, according to the Conflict Analysis Resources Center. Emigration increased by 95% between 2021 and 2022. 35% of emigrants are between 18 and 29 years old, 29% are between 30 and 40. 19% are minors. Those were your top stories. More next week. But for now, let's get into this week's interview with ZZK Records. Welcome on, guys. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hi, I'm Guillermo Canale, DJ Nim from ZZK Records.
I'm Grant Duell, co-founder, creative director of ZZK
Records. And in a little bit, we will have Davinson from Colombian band Los Cotopla Boys, one of ZZK's latest signings. You guys are here because ZZK Records is celebrating a big anniversary this year. It's 15 years. But let's go right back to the beginning. How did this all begin?
ZZK Records was born from a weekly party in Buenos Aires that was started by myself, DJ Nim, and a third Argentine DJ named Villa Diamante, or Diego Bulacio. We wanted to create a space where we could focus on and promote new Argentine producers. And so we had anything from drum and bass to dubstep to cumbia to reggaeton to hip hop. It was kind of everybody's personal music taste, like Neem's music taste, Diego's music tastes, and my music tastes, all kind of coming together onto a weekly dance party. And very quickly we realized that cumbia was a crowd favorite, and some of the more interesting musical creations that were coming out of our curated producer lineup or DJ lineup or MC lineup every week were very cumbia heavy as well. And so very quickly, about a year into the club, we decided that we would do a compilation. And the compilation originally was just going to be for journalists and DJs and press people, et cetera, et cetera. But for some reason, we decided that that compilation would be the genesis to a record label. So we threw together the first album very quickly. We curated around 16 tracks from 16 different producers. Starts with a chancha song. And we put out the album and we went on tour. And the rest is kind of history.
And Grant, I mean, some of our listeners might have noticed that you're not Argentinian. So what were you doing in Buenos Aires? What took you there?
I went down to Argentina to find adventure, essentially, to find something that was inspiring. And I found it in Buenos Aires. I found an amazing city, full of life, full of culture. I wanted to basically live the life that I was reading in books. I never worked in music, and I had never been to Buenos Aires. I went on an impetus, on a whim, or on the wind blowing me that way. And it was essentially via a book and a song. I fell in love with Borges. And then around 3 months later, I heard a song on the radio when I was really like last couple months deciding where I wanted to go in the world. And it was Astor Piazzolla. Basically, I started a bilingual arts and culture website called What's Up Buenos Aires. What's Up Buenos Aires was a daily curated list of what was going on in Buenos Aires at the time. And it was in English and in Spanish. And this was the early days of the internet where you really didn't have this information at your fingertips. And so What's Up Buenos Aires basically, with the influx of so many foreign travelers in Argentina at the time, this is post-recession 2004, became kind of a bohemian hotspot for young, you know, culture travelers. It kind of took off. Like within the first couple of weeks, you know, we had a following and we got some nice press, and it kind of just started taking flight. And through the website, I started throwing parties, because that's what you do when you run a culture website. You start promoting it with shows and parties and activations around the city. And, you know, I probably did 100 parties and shows before I met Diego and Guillermo. And with that meeting, the idea of Zizek was born. Zizek is the name of the party. We named it after the contemporary Slovenian philosopher Slavoj Žižek, as kind of an ode to his mashup philosophy, but also kind of like an inside joke between the three of us. And that was basically, you know, the genesis of the label as well. So yeah, it all kind of just folded into my love of culture, music, and dancing.
I was going to say, because there is, you know, in the genesis, and I think still in the identity of the label, there's a focus on people still dancing and getting together to dance.
100%. Yeah. I mean, dancing is, you know, it's medicine. It's, there's not a better feeling than being lost in the music, on a dance floor surrounded by other people who are having similar, you know, energies and sensations, and just kind of, you know, forgetting about everything else that's going on in your life and just dancing. And so dancing is a powerful tool. And to this day, the label is all around basically what the storytelling is about these artists who are amazing, and the dance floor.
Right. So you've got this label that's Latino music, co-founded by an American and named after a Slovenian. So what's the identity? How did you start to kind of collect sounds and visuals around this identity?
Yeah, well, this is very the three founders. It's literally like we all came from such different backgrounds and all had such different kind of worldviews and, you know, views of what we considered to be a good party. And so it was really just Diego and his kind of mashup philosophy of everything goes, freestyle, no rules, which I love, essentially. Like, that's, I'm on board with that. And then Guillermo, who's very, you know, he's one of, I consider to be one of Latin America's or Argentina's just quintessential A&Rs. And so he's got his ear always to the underground. He's always looking for the next sound. He's you know, he's having dialogues with the artists. He's curating. He's finding new talents, you know, very, very urban and Buenos Aires and kind of like world and Argentine at the same time. And then myself as an expat. So it was just like three very forward thinking, open minded music lovers, where we all kind of all had access to different scenes, because I was doing the website and Diego was DJing 5 times a week. And Guillermo was essentially just collecting the best sounds from around Argentina and the world. And so we kind of all brought that kind of just vision to the table. And the outcome was Zizek was the party.
Myself, I am a jungle dubstep grime and breaks broadly DJ. So that was my part of the odds that ended being ZZK party and records.
Ay, 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 te regalo mi revolución. Ay, 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 te regalo mi revolución. Ay, 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 ay.
So can you guys describe to me, just kind of paint a picture of those early parties? Who came? Who was the crowd? What were the venues like?
The moment where we began the party. Were tough times in Buenos Aires because there were an accident in which hundreds of people died in a discotheque. So there were almost no spaces, legal spaces, discos or venues or bars, with a possibility of people dancing. It was almost a year and a half where there were no legal parties because or very few. So I found a tangueria, a space for tango, for tango dancing and music in general, but it only had available Wednesday. So it was like, well, shall we take a chance to make a Wednesday night party in Buenos Aires? I think when we started, we had 80 people, 100 people. We had our first 200 people many months after that. So for the space and the kind of night we wanted, it was perfect. And people danced like nowhere. There were nowhere watching. People in comfy clothes and comfy shoes. The party orbited around the dance floor, and it was very special because of the Villa Diamante approach to dance floor. That was freestyle, reggaeton, dancehall, hip hop, all mixed. The main hours of the venue were taken by Villa Diamante and the artist who we invited, and those were, as Grant said, producers that were experimenting with cumbia and native American Argentinian folklore, and they were doing, but mainly cumbia. They were doing all kinds of contemporary approaches to that heritage. Cumbia is from Colombia, but it has influenced all over the continent, and here, particularly in Argentina, we had cumbia villera, that's cumbia from the slums, a rougher and raw kind of cumbia with a heavy and harsh scenes and very basic and effective kind of cumbia.
Also, besides cumbia villera, there was this kind of weird art house left field cumbia scene that preceded us starting to come into evolution called, we can call it cumbia experimental or experimental cumbia. So we had a very weird left field take on cumbia that was inspired not only by Colombian cumbia and the cumbia from around Latin America, the Argentine cumbia villera that Guillermo mentioned earlier, but also this really weird experimental cumbia. And so our once again, our kind of like this vision of the dance floor and vision of music was, we like the weird stuff. Like we're not trying to like throw parties with pop music or just normal stuff. We want the weird, new, experimental, kind of wacky stuff. So the curation of the party was that. And immediately there was a response from the dance floor. I remember having some friends that played in rock bands that would come up to me and say, thank you so much. This is the only place that we can go out and dance cumbia, because there was no other place in town that a bunch of long-haired kids in tight jeans would be welcome to go and dance cumbia in Argentina at the time. And so we created this, you know, like it's just a great story of any good party. We created this safe space for anybody and everybody to come and enjoy the music without prejudices, without, you know, egos. And like Neem said earlier, it's just the music was the common denominator and the dance floor was the space. And that's the energy that the label was created around, this kind of just this great energy on the dance floor and this really weird new cumbia, which not only the local crowds love, but eventually international. Like
it was a forming scene around us that had a lot of vision, talent, and that was what inspired us to make the first compilation too. The amazing unreleased music that were around us.
So the label was just really built on that kind of like, oh, there's not only do people love it at our parties, but internationally, people are like really starting to get into this.
The only viable business were at the time the big business. Pop artists, rock bands, and only the mainstream. So that was the environment in which we began releasing music.
Literally, one of the mission statements of the record label when we first came out was, why start a record label in a dying industry? This was 2008, where, you know, Napster and the CD and the first iPod was coming out and all the technology was changing so rapidly. Like the old system was gone. It was in the grave. It was done. Like people were not selling $20 CDs anymore.
How has this very rapidly changing technological environment affected what you guys do and how you work?
The internet was blurring lines and information was traveling from, you know, Buenos Aires to Tokyo to New York to Bogota at the speed of light. And it was also, you know, the internet was our platform for the record label, because Argentina geographically is very, very, very far from everybody else. You know, the people were asking for more mixtapes and downloading our MP3s. And we just kind of like, you know, created this machine at the core. Our team is three or four people, and of those three or four people, everybody has other jobs. You know, like it's not an easy thing to release weird new music from Latin America and make a business out of it. I think after 15 years, finally we are. You're almost forced to play the game of the new platforms and then, you know, all the technology that surrounds music and keep up.
Yeah. And you guys do still sell vinyl and t-shirts, and you still sort of do live events. There's, as much as it's very tech savvy, there's an old schoolness too.
Oh, 100%. There's definitely an element of old school, and we like that. We like selling vinyls. We like you know, making t-shirts. We like throwing parties. We like doing shows. We like touring with bands. You know, we're anytime we can, you know, support the essentially the genesis of the label, which is getting people dancing and feeling good. We're not looking at the, you know, algorithms or crunching the data every day. We're just making good music and putting out, you know, good art, and then hoping that that finds its audience.
You know, the movement out of Buenos Aires to come to where we are now in Colombia, you guys have been doing loads of work in Colombia, particularly last year, and you've got lots of Colombian artists working with you now.
100%. It is a very Colombia heavy record label right now, which I love. It took the weird Buenos Aires experimental cumbia for us to finally get to Colombia. When the label was starting, we were very much a fan of what was happening in Colombia. We were playing a lot of their tracks. Colombia has always kind of been present at ZZEC and at ZZK. From the early days, we were, you know, spinning some of the records that were coming out of Colombia at the time. I remember putting, I think, my first kind of primetime DJ set, and I think I played a Sidestepper song, if I'm not mistaken, and people just losing it. So we were always connected to Colombia and musically, and also there were a lot of Colombians at our club night. I remember having some friends in Almagro that ran a little arepa restaurant, and I love these guys, and they would come to our shows every week, and we had Colombians at our shows, and so there was always a dialogue with Colombia. But we never were able to work with Colombians until years later. You know, we were friends with some of the artists over there who are now, you know, huge, like Bomba Estéreo and Pernet and Sidestepper, and you were kind of following along with what they were doing. But the road that led to Colombia was once again just all about the music. And our first Colombian act was 2000, I want to say 17 or 18, and it was Me Too. Julian Salazar, ex Bomba Estéreo, and Franklin Tejador from Palenque, who had created this amazing electronic, the Afro Palenque Colombian outfit that, you know, blew our mind. It's such a, you know, as you know, because you're there, it's such a musical just hotbed of so many different sounds and so many different ideas and so many different rhythms and cultures and ethnicities and all that coming together in a very modern way. So I've been a huge fan of Colombian music forever. And now, you know, Me Too was our first, and then Ghetto Cumbe, and then Los Cotopla Boys, which for me was once again coming back to Bogota and participating in a scene that I had been such a fan of. Since 2018, it kind of the floodgates were opened. And so I often get invitations to come to Colombia to participate in some sort of conference or masterclass or, you know, what, something industry wise. And every time I go, I end up signing a new artist, which, and you know, after Me Too, we ended up signing Ghetto Cumbe. And after Ghetto Cumbe, we ended up signing Montoya, who's from Pereira, who lives in Italy. And then eventually Running in the Park in 2021 or 22, I forget. I started listening to Los Cotopla Boys. And I've told Davidson this story. It became my soundtrack to my Bogota daily experience. And I have always been a huge fan of the experimental alternative cumbia scene in Bogota. I think it's one of the best scenes in the world musically, not just the cumbia scene, but just the music scene in general. And Los Cotopla Boys was kind of like an opportunity for us to finally put something out from that scene that we love so much.
Oh, So we now have with us in the studio Davinson from Los Cotopla Boys. Welcome, Davinson. How's it been working with ZZK?
It's been great. I mean, we've been together, like Grant says, in 2021, I think so. And I mean, it's been more than a relationship of work. We just became like friends with the same, you know, we have the same like goal, you know. We just want to put our music out there. We want to expand how the public, how to get our cumbia music to the world. So that's, we have the same goal, and it's been amazing because every time we meet up, we always get like this new type of goals to go to other country, to, you know, how can we get our music to other audiences?
Because I know we all like to pretend it didn't happen now and not talk about it. But, you know, for a big dance label that runs a lot of events, something pretty bad happened and we were all stuck inside. So have you found that as the pandemic eased, or as, you know, restrictions around the pandemic at least eased, has there been a rejuvenation? Davinson, what have you felt in crowds as you came back into live performance?
I think for live, I mean, since the pandemic, it's been difficult. A lot of things, not only releasing music, but also touring. And I mean, we have new challenges. But I think throughout, like since we released our record with, not only with CCK, but the first time we released music was actually in the middle of the pandemic. It was June of 2020. So, I mean, there are new ways and new strategies, but we've been trying to stay alive. And I think we have done a good job since then, because not only we are able to still tour, but we are able to, you know, to keep on doing music. So I think that's actually a privilege.
I think, like, inevitably running a record label that is centered around communion and dancing and feeling good, I think it's a great time because people are so needing that feeling of being out again and enjoying life and dancing and going to shows and finding new music. And so, you know, I had a talk yesterday with a distributor here in LA, and it's just like music is never going to suffer so much that it will die. You know, like music is an essential part of the fabric of humanity almost. It's like we need it. We need it to. And the live music industry has come back roaring, you know, like tours. It's as difficult as ever. So it's not an easy scenario to make work. But if you can make it work, and if you can put in the time and the energy and even the investment to keep going and to keep you know, touring and putting music out and building your audience, I think it's a great time. Here in LA, like, shows sell out super fast because people are so hungry and so ready and so needing these bands and these artists to be a part of their lives again. So, you know, there's so many ways that you can paint the picture and tell the story. And, you know, it's been terrible for, you know, a lot of different things. But I think when it comes to music in general, I think the pandemic was like a before and after moment. You know, like, we all realize that music is as important as anything, you know. And so for a record label that needs to put out music and needs to get people onto dance floors and, you know, wants people to enjoy life and feel good, which essentially is, you know, why else do you run a record label if it's not to have fun and enjoy life? You know, we're as inspired and as busy and as creative as we've ever been.
Right. So, Davinson, how do things look and feel to you on the Bogota scene?
Right now, I mean, the scene that I do with my band is like alternative cumbia. There are right now the guys that are like 20 years plus above us, which are Frente Cumbiero, Meridian Brothers, Los Pirañas. Those guys been doing this like for almost 20 years or so. and all those guys are amazing, are also our influences. They sometimes play on our hometown, but they are used to doing now more international tours and big venues, most of all. But something that is good from those guys is that they are our influences, and because of them, we are now a band, you know? So now my generation, bands like Sonora Mazurén, Conjunto Media Luna, La Nueva Estudiantina Electrónica, we all do alternative cumbia, and you can now see like people my age doing some of new projects, but with that influence of the journalists call that genre like tropicannibalism. I don't know if that is a word for you, but that's, yeah, it's really, it's a fun one. But now what I want to see, and I've been talking to college, to my teammates, is like, okay, how can the Gen Z guys do another type of this alternative cumbia, you know? We've been talking about that, and I mean, it's still too early, but we are thrilled because these guys are doing now things with Mexican music. I'm seeing now more also hyperpop and all of that, what is doing around the world. And the Gen Z's now are doing like those type of bands. But the Colombian scene right now in alternative cumbia, I think, is a really nice hype one, and is actually really active. I mean, what I was telling you, what the Meridian guys and Frente Cumbiero guys are doing right now, that is touring the world. We are like scratching the atmosphere now with our, we are now touring Mexico for the second time. But for us, that is like a really great goal. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't in our dreams that we were going to do a second tour to Mexico with our first record. So you can tell the music scene is really active and alive.
Right. And in terms of the music you're making, how does your generation differ from the generation of Meridian Brothers? I actually did an interview with Eblis for this podcast last year, which was really interesting. And I listened to a lot of their music, obviously. How has it evolved? What's changed in the approach to cumbia between that generation and yours?
Wow, that is a great question. I think maybe the elements of our own experiences as millennials, you know. So talking about our day-to-day life with the social media, we talk about that in our songs. And with the musical things, I think we have like a dembow type of beat in our songs. I haven't seen that in those guys. But, you know, because it's natural for us to incorporate some of the reggaeton type of beats, some of the, I don't know, maybe more kind towards the new music coming out. We are actively hearing those type of beats, and we are not scared of using them now. It's not that those guys are really tight. It's not about that. But I think the new music and the new generation are always trying to incorporate what they are listening in their you know, day-to-day life into a new type of record. There's a couple of projects here in Bogota that are doing like their own type of thing in the hyperpop and whatever, and I know those kids listen to a lot of European DJs. Actually, K-pop, more like from the culture rather than from the music, because K-pop is really like more like pop melodies. And these guys are crazy. When I listen to their projects, it's not really pop. So I think it's more like the type of culture and the images from the K-pop scene that they incorporate.
So is the other major event that you guys have overlapped with is the rise and explosion of reggaeton, which is now, you know, a bigger cultural influence than almost any other genre, even in Europe. Has that affected or been incorporated into the kind of music that you guys are making?
Yeah, not so much. I mean, you know, rising tide lifts all ships. So the bigger the bigger the Latin music thing gets, it's positive for everyone. And you know, we like some of the weird reggaeton, and there we have some reggaeton tracks on ZZK, and there's a dembo beat, and you know, I love weird music, and I love dembo, and I love reggaeton, but like the pop sensation, it's not really a part of our day to day, or narrative, nor have we, you know, even dipped our toes into that world. I know it's starting to kind of cross over into our world a little bit, and so there are some artists that, you know, come from this alternative cumbia lane that are now in that, you know, big pop reggaeton world. But yeah, I mean, you know, I sit on panels all the time with this reggaeton explosion, and essentially it's positive for us, but it's not really a part of our day to day.
And over the course of 15 years with parties in, I don't even know how many countries you guys have run them, are there nations that respond in a certain way and others that respond in a different way to these parties? Or
like Scandinavia, for example, like, you know, summertime in Scandinavia is one of the most exciting and fun and bacchanal things I've ever seen, because those guys are cooped up in their houses 9 months out of the year and they cannot wait to get out and dance and party and enjoy life. And those guys dance their faces off when we go and tour there. And I think, you know, it's that Latin American vibe and culture and music that those cultures don't have. And, you know, somebody like Los Cotopla Boys or Meridian Brothers, or just, it's wild, fresh, innovative, different, fun, culture. You know, when it all comes down to it, music is a way for us to travel through cultures that we may or may not have been. You know, we've always kind of said that ZZK works because we have so many different kinds of fans. You know, we have fans that are Latin music lovers, urban music lovers, world music lovers, electronic music lovers, and I guess like experimental too, because it's weird. And so we kind of tick so many different boxes of music fans, and that's why it works. And sometimes, of course, you go to a city like Los Angeles or Chicago or Houston, and it'll be very Latin heavy. I remember seeing the Meridian Brothers here in LA, which we're going to do their next show as a part of our ZZK 15 celebration. And it was like, it was all Colombians and Latin Americans. It was like, oh, wow, there's like 1,000 Latin Americans out, you know, supporting and dancing to the Meridian Brothers.
So what's coming up for you guys in Colombia? How are we celebrating 15 years?
So we want to throw some parties. We are going to put out some great music this year from Colombia. We want to bring some of the bands in Colombia to different parties around the world. You know, hopefully we'll throw a party in Venezuela. Hopefully we'll throw a party in Peru. Hopefully we'll throw a party in Buenos Aires, Europe. You know, pretty much talking to a bunch of different cities and a bunch of different continents. We would love to throw a party in Medellin and another party in Bogota. And who knows, maybe some other parties in some other cities if we find the right promoters. But that will be probably the second half of 2023.
So we started the year pretty good, going to Mexico to Carnaval of Baidora, and we're going to stay 2 more weeks in Ciudad de Mexico and in Cuernavaca. We're actually going to play, we're going to share the bill with Son Rompepera, which they are also from CZK. They are a marimba cumbia alternative band. They are a great band, so everybody should check them out as well. So we are sharing the bill with them in Cuernavaca. So we are pretty excited about this first new tour that we are doing. And the whole year we are planning to promote the vinyl that we show on August with CZK. So having a vinyl with your band is actually something pretty special. So we are planning to promote it the whole year on different cities.
Nice. So final question. When you first started this Wednesday night party of unreleased music in Buenos Aires, did you ever imagine that 15 years later, you would be running this international record label?
I'd say that no.
I agree. I would say never in my wildest dreams. it's a no. I would never have thought that we would, you know, be able to keep this going and to run a really independent kind of grassroots record label. But at the same time, 15 years later, it kind of feels right. So some strange cosmic way, there's a yes somewhere deep down inside that I can only realize at certain moments like this, that power of music and the power of friendship and the power of camaraderie and the power of hard work and blood, sweat, and tears that has made this journey possible. You know, I guess it's a yes for me.
And I mean, you already know I'm a huge fan of a large number of artists on the label, and very much hope that there will be another 15 years. And if that is the case, what are we going to be seeing?
Yeah, so, you know, we made it this far, we might as well keep going, right? There's a lot of great music in the works. We have on paper 20 releases from next week to September already on the calendar this year. Some of them are going to get tweaked a little bit, but by 20 releases, I mean singles and albums. And so we typically set up an album with two or three singles and re-release an album. So we're going to have our busiest year in a decade, easily. We're going to put out music this year from some new countries that we've never put music out before, like Bolivia and Venezuela and the USA. Jackie Mendoza's album comes out in about a month. She's our first American artist. She's Mexican-American from San Diego, Tijuana. And we're signing some new artists, hopefully getting into Brazil, which has been a dream of mine for a long time. I actually lived in Brazil when I was in my 20s. And we're going to put out a documentary this year as well about the Bolivian artist Luzmila Carpio, who's our first legacy artist. She's been making music for 50 years, and we're going to put out her album, which was made in Buenos Aires, by the way. That's a Buenos Aires La Paz collaboration. And we're actually launching two new ventures this year. One just went on online today. We soft launched it, but we're going to hard launch it in the next couple weeks. We're creating a new branch of the label called ZZK Culture. And ZZK Culture is essentially everything that we do around storytelling. It's the intersection between entertainment and education. And so we're talking to a couple different venues in different cities that eventually we'll bring to Colombia. And it's more about the music in a way that you can experience it, not just on stage, but, you know, visually and with a talk and with an installation and with a documentary. And so we're kind of combining all of this really fun, exciting storytelling that we do at the label, which is essentially, you know, one of the most fun parts of the label is connecting to this music and then being able to share it with the world. We're going to be launching that with the ZZK Culture branch of the label. And with that launch, we're also launching a support site. And so instead of crowdfunding all these crazy projects, which we've done, I think, 7 or 8 times, we're going to have a constant support online presence where people from around the world that love what we do can support. They can support a record, they can support a film, or they can support a culture project. And so that's kind of the future of ZZK. The future of ZZK is to continue to put out great music, but also to continue to tell these great stories. And, you know, inevitably, if you can't go to Colombia, then we're going to bring Colombia to you. We're going to put it in a venue in Montreal or in New York or in Paris or in London or in Buenos Aires. And you're going to be able to get to know these artists in a way that, you know, online is great. And of course, there will be an online presence to this initiative. But we really want to bring these stories to life in a way that is exciting and fun and very, you know, very in demand right now. We're seeing that these hybrid storytelling, you know, art meets culture meets music meets exhibition is kind of a thing right now. And we want to be able to provide that service in a way that only ZZK can.
Right. And Guillermo, where do you see 15 years more of ZZK leading?
Well, we have some secret project with Grant that is releasing Latin American electronic music aimed to the global dance floor. It's going to be a new series of releases, vinyl releases, and of course platforms and so that it's going to be called Torna. Speaking about Colombia, the first release is it's going to be a Colombian artist called Hermetics, Santiago Niño, who is currently living here in Buenos Aires. And it is going to be a new series of releases, not that folk, not that cumbia, not that but electronic, and I'm very excited about that. And speaking with new artists and giving the chance of traditional artists or established artists to give us some gems that they may have in their hard drives, things that may not got into their albums or experimental music. So we are expanding our spectrum.
Amazing. Well, congratulations on 15 years. And thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's been great to chat to all three of you.
Thank you. It was amazing.
Thank you so much, Emily. It's been amazing to talk.
Thanks so much, guys. Ciao.
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 So that is all from Columbia Calling for this week. But I am going to leave you with an exclusive preview from ZZK. I absolutely love this one, and I really hope you enjoy it too. It's the brand new track from their artist Montoya, featuring Lydia Gongora, and it's called Soñé.
pinta mis sueños, ven, pinta de colores este mundo gris.
Ven, píntalo conmigo.
The Columbia Calling podcast is sponsored by Latin News, a leading source of political and economic analysis on Latin America and the Caribbean since 1967. Their flagship publication, the Latin American Weekly Report, provides a behind-the-scenes briefing on all the week's key developments throughout the region. Sign up for a 14-day free trial at latinnews.com. The Columbia Calling podcast is also proud to say that we are sponsored by BNB Columbia Tours, which is a leading tour operator in Colombia, providing a large range of private day tours, transportation, and bespoke packages throughout Colombia since 2017. By popular demand, from January 2023, they will be providing exclusive small group shared tours for those aged 50 and over. If you're interested in experiencing one of their unforgettable journeys through Colombia, be it a shared tour with like-minded travelers or creating a private package of your own, just complete the form on the Columbia Calling website, that's columbiacalling.co, or the Plan My Trip form on the BNB Colombia Tours website, that's bnbcolombia.com, and they'll be in touch within 24 hours to answer all your questions and to start the planning of your Colombia adventure. So please support our sponsors, our patrons here on the Columbia Calling podcast. That's bnbcolombia.com and latinnews.com. Thank you again.